Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on the Second Guest Show, Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We got one of the best in the business, but salary cap-wise, can break down all these kind of contracts that are signed in the NFL, Joe Curry. You can read his stuff at CBSSports.com. Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Joel, kind of break, because we get it a lot. What is the salary implications if Derek Carr stays with the team in 2025, or if a new coach comes in and said, listen, you're just going to have to eat it, and we're going to move on. Tell us the implications money-wise if that would happen.
And, you know, compare like what Mike said, because Sean Payton said, hey, sorry, Russ.
You got to go.
We could eat that money. Yeah. So how, is that any comparison there or what, Joe?
Yeah, but you'd have to use a posting one designation to release Derek Carr, most likely, because you guys typically have a huge overage, roughly $65 million, depending upon where the cap comes in, which you have to shave off. This is an every year occurrence. But he's got a $51.458 million cap hit right now, $40 million in cash, $10 million of a roster bonus that's already guaranteed, the fifth-day roster bonus. The $30 million base salary is guaranteed for injury. It becomes fully guaranteed third day of the 2025 league year. If you just cut him conventionally because you've restructured his contract before and just cut him out right so you can't split the cap hit into 2 years, the dead money, you're only going to save like $1.326 million and you'll have $50.312 million in dead money this year. Now, if you use a post-U1 designation, you'd cut him before the base salary becomes fully guaranteed. You'd have to carry the $30 million base salary until June. And then that $30 million comes off the books in June. You get the June 2nd, you get the $30 million in cap relief then. And you'd have the 20 and some change in dead money in 2026. You guys are 5-5 when he played. He can still be serviceable. Maybe ask him to take a pay cut. Or it wouldn't surprise me if you just kick the can down the road again where you can create almost up to $31 million in cap room by doing what you always do, by kicking the can down the road. You'd have to add another voiding dummy year to tack it on to get the maximum effect. But there are no good options, really, with Derek Carr.
Well, and, Joe, you look at, like, Derek Carr, like you said, that's the games they won. Now, they went 5-5. They were 0-6, or 0-7, I should say, without him. And then he played only 10 games, but he threw for right under 2,200 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. So I tell Saints fans, well, what's a better option in the future? So you might say, well, I don't know if we're going to win a championship with Derek Carr, but to me, he gives us a fighting chance versus a younger quarterback, not Jake Haener, but even Spencer Rattler, considering where we're at. But, Joe, the question I have for you is, like, you look like 6, 7, 8 coaches get fired every year. I think we had 5. And that I think the Saints are behind the 8 ball. Let's say your potential head coach, and you look at the position you are potentially at quarterback going forward, I would say, well, like, New England Patriots got a way better advantage, and you can elaborate on this, than the Saints, simply because I like May as a quarterback of the future, young, study, proven that. And then their salary cap situation compared to where the Saints are. Just compare, like, you know, like the teams that don't have a coach right now and their salary cap situation versus the Saints.
Yeah, well, New England's the best one because they've got a young quarterback that looks promising, and they're going to have more cap room than anybody else in the league. It's going to be over $100 million. He's on a cost-contained contract. The Bears have roughly, effectively, $60 million of cap space. So that's a ton of cap space. You have the first overall pick from this past year, just two to name. So, yeah, you guys always have these perpetual cap problems because you kick the can down the road like you're trying to extend your Super Bowl window, but you haven't been a playoff team since 2020. You're not going to do it, but I might be in favor of blowing the whole thing up like the Raiders did when they brought in Reggie McKenzie as the GM, and it was a two-year process, and hoping you're so bad next year, that means Carr's gone, that you're in a position to hopefully, if he comes out, get Arch Manning. I know that's not what you're going to do, but I would give serious consideration to doing something like that.
Bob's all for the Arch Manning thing. He's already on the bandwagon.
Well, the thing is, if we got Arch Manning, it'd be the second coming of Reggie Bush, but at the quarterback position. All I know is post-Katrina, when Reggie Bush came on board, now, I would give more credit to Sean Payton and Drew Brees, but just the hype with Reggie Bush was unfreaking believable.
Yeah, it was.
I remember.
He couldn't live up to that
hype.
No. And he was a really good player in this league.
He had to be a Captain America, Superman all in one. I mean, no, he was outstanding.
Here's the interesting thing about Reggie Bush. That was, what, 06? When Mario Williams went around, when some people criticized the Texans for taking a pass rusher, which is a premium position. Reggie Bush would not go number two, given how running backs are treated today. He would not be the second pick in the draft today. He might go somewhere in the top 10, kind of like Bijan Robinson did. I know we've had backs go as high as 4 or 5, but he wouldn't go number two just because you wouldn't allocate those type of resources to a running back, no matter how great he is in college, under today's climate.
Cam Jordan has talked about he would like to return and play another season in the NFL. The question mark is, will it be here in New Orleans? If something would happen, and I doubt seriously it would be a trade, I think if they wanted to move on, I think they'd give Cam his release and let him pick the team he would want to go to. Kind of break down the salary cap implications for Cam Jordan.
Yeah, there aren't any good ones with him. The mistake was you gave him a contract extension, that lifetime contract, which you really don't do with older players. Pass rushers don't age that well when they start hitting their mid-30s. He's got a 20.061 cap number. If you release him outright, meaning no posting one designation, you've got two of those to use, then you're going to increase your cap by 3.924 million. So you're not going to do that. You'd have to use a posting one designation on him. Once again, I said you got two of them, so you'd have to carry that number until June 2nd, but you would pick up 11 million in cap space, I believe, because he's got a guarantee of 1.5 salary guarantee. Now what I would offer, I'd do for him, is since he's now kind of a situational pass rusher, not an every down guy, $4.5 million for what he does is a lot of money. I'd see if he'd be receptive to taking a pay cut, maybe chop that in half and then build in some incentives. So then you're getting $6.25 million in cap relief this year. Don't do any restructuring or anything where you're like converting money into signing bonus. Just try to get a straight pay cut with not like earning incentives. That's what I would try to do with him.
Now, Joe, would that be like, because the Saints are an old team, compared to when you have a young up-and-coming talent, you look at Tampa Bay, and they've won now the NFC South 4 straight seasons. But like I look at, boy, he was one of the greatest LSU players. We respect him, even as an NFL pro right now amongst active players, has the most interceptions, Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu. Then you look at DeMario Davis at linebacker, same like Cam Jordan. Would you have them, you just out and out release them? You know, we look at their salary, or do you trying to get, like you say, get them to take a pay cut and maybe have more of a smoother transition. And then besides just simply just cutting bait with them, then they're not part of the team at all next year.
Yeah, Jordan's more of a pay cut candidate than Matthew, because you're talking $12.5 million versus $7.25 million. But, yeah, if he wants to stay in New Orleans, got the LSU tie, I'd see how receptive he is to a pay cut, the incentive route as well. But Jordan, that makes more sense than either one, than Matthew does. But, yeah, you're right. This is an aging team. DeMario Davis, 36. Cam Jordan, 36. Carr, 34. Yeah, it's not a young team. So you got to do something with these aging vets. It's a position you don't want to be in where you have huge cap numbers for very old players by NFL standards.
Well, Joe, what do you think, because it seems like the poster child of how you do things, that you want to win now, but then you also think in the future, but how all of a sudden you won now, okay, you rode that horse, now we have to change a little bit of strategy, that being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and pre-Tom Brady, and then what they accomplished, and then post-Tom Brady. Boy, it seems like they weathered that storm and then been like, oh, okay, well, you brought Tom Brady and all, how are we going to handle that? You got to give that organization a lot of credit how they handled their business.
Yeah, because that was a team which would rarely restructure a contract before Tom Brady, and they wouldn't give signing bonuses. It's called pay-as-you-go, where your cap and cap numbers are the same. If you don't restructure the contract, once the guaranteed money runs out, then you have no dead money when you release someone. That was their MO. You bring in a quarterback who's over 40 years old, you're in short-term win-now mode. They won, first year was there. So they started restructuring every contract known to man. I think they said, let's bring the band back together. And they took like a $35 million cap hit from the voiding dummy years when Brady was done. But they made a smooth transition by hitting on a quarterback. Baker Mayfield played on a one-year prove-it deal last year. It's now an affordable contract, given what he's done. He had an excellent year this year, $100 million over 3 years, up to $115 million, if you include all the incentives. So they've done a remarkable job in making that transition, but it's easy to make a transition when you don't have a huge drop-off in quarterback from the greatest quarterback of all time to a former first overall pick in Baker Mayfield.
Joel, one of the things a lot of people aren't considering, but Ryan Ramczyk, who had signed a long-term deal and then, you know, his body broke down on him, and he's going to retire in the offseason. What is going to be the salary cap implications when Ramczyk makes it official that he's retiring?
Yeah, there's a way to do it where you can get some immediate cap relief. If you remember, I believe it was Drew Brees when he retired. He worked with the team, and he dropped his base salary down to his league minimum, and they carried him on the roster until after June 1st so they could take the bonus proration, split the cap hit over 2 years. You can do that with Ramczyk. He's got an $18 million base salary. If he's amenable, knowing he's retiring, to dropping his base salary to his league minimum $1.255 million, you're going to pick up $16.745 million in cap relief immediately. You carry him on the roster until June 2nd, June 3rd, whatever. Then you're going to pick up another $1.255 million when that base salary comes off the books. But you're going to have dead money next year if you do it that way. So that's probably how you're going to handle Ramczyk, the Drew Brees approach to retirement.
Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Man, you always do a super job. I'm going to tell you like I tell Dr. David Elias when I get him on. I always tell Dave, man, you got to give me some good news. At least you gave us the straight news and exactly what yep. everybody needs to hear, because this is something they're going to have to dig out of for the next couple years. It's not a one-year fix.
We got to bite the bullet.
Yeah, but you guys don't bite the bullet. You kick the can down the road each year, and I try to also...
I know, we're trying to change. We're trying to change.
I try to trade Taysom Hill to Sean Payton and get him off the books that way.
Oh, Taysom Hill to Sean Payton. Oh, Sean Payton might take him for sure.
I'm sure Sean would do that. Hey, no question. Joe, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always do a super job, but appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, Joe.
All right, Joe Curry does a fantastic job breaking all this down, and he tells you the truth about things, and that's why I wanted him on, to give you the straight poop, and nothing sounds good. Basically, the options aren't good. You're going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, because Sean Payton and Drew Brees' days are over. We're not kicking no damn can down the road. It's not like, oh, we're right there.
You got to pay the credit card.
No, we ain't been in the playoffs 4 straight years. Hello? Come on. No, it's over. But we got to shock the world. We got to do something different.